Hello there. This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. You're listening to Hospital Radio for Northumberland and North Tyneside. I'm opening the programme today with a lovely song I heard only recently. I was singing, together with others, at a pub called the Twa Dogs in Keswick, and a guy called John Prentice sang this, along with his wife Jill. I hope you like his song too, as we invite God to be present with us this morning as we listen to this programme. So, from his Clay Cross Tunnel album, he sings, When You Come to Me, O Lord.
When you come to me, O Lord, at the break of every day. When you come to me, O Lord, when I'm on my knees to pray. You may seem to be so distant, yet you're by me all the way. When you come to me, O Lord. When you come,
when you come.
When you come,
when you come.
When you come, when you come to me, O Lord. When you come to me, O Lord, at the time of greatest need. When you come to me, O Lord, at your table I will feed. There are times I feel alone, yet you're there to take the lead. When you come to me, O Lord. When you come,
when you come.
When you come,
when you come.
When you come, when you come to me, O Lord. When you come to me, O Lord, in the darkness of the night. When you come to me, O Lord, and I can feel your might. There are times when I feel blind, yet you are my guiding light. When you come to me, O Lord. When you come,
when you come,
when you come, when you come, when you come, when you come to me.
There was a rather conservative vicar I once knew who was heard to breathe a big sigh of relief when a week-long mission was finished, saying, "Thank goodness that's over. Now we can get back to normal." Ministry, mission, outreach, evangelism, call it what you will. There are those who embrace it with open arms, but there are those who either endure it like this vicar or avoid it like the plague. But Jesus, however, commanded we do it. So what is evangelism? What does it mean? Evangelism is the spreading of the Christian gospel by public preaching or personal witness. Or you could simply say sharing the good news about Jesus Christ. But one person put it this way. It's one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. How lovely of that beggar to care for another person. That's what we call presence, coming alongside someone. And how lovely of him to share with another his good news. We call that proclamation. Now, which of these two is evangelism? Did Jesus not recommend both? Our next hymn is a very popular Christian song called How Lovely on the Mountains Are the Feet of Him Who Brings Good News, sung here by Marilla Ness.
Our God reigns. Our God.
St. Francis was approached one day by a young monk who was eager to hear him preach. So the great saint invited him to accompany him on his way to the marketplace. As they approached the centre of town, the great saint played a street game with some young children. He shared food with an elderly lady who was begging on the steps of a church. He laughed and joked with one of the stallholders. He mixed in and spoke with many ordinary people. But by the end of the day, the young monk was becoming very impatient, and he asked Francis once more when he was going to preach. St. Francis replied that that's what he was doing all day. He was emphasizing the need to be present among the needy in society. But St. Paul once said, "How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?" Well, the answer is St. Francis also knew how important it was to preach. We know he even preached to animals and birds. But perhaps the young monk needed to learn that evangelism wasn't simply preaching the word, it was living it out too. Here's a song called "Make Me a Channel of Your Peace" from St. Columb's in Derry.
Make me a channel of your peace.
On the other hand, we have a story about preaching, which you may already have heard. It's about a nervous monk called Brother John, who was once invited by a new abbot at the monastery to preach a sermon. After all, his name was next on the rota, and each monk had to take his turn in chapel. When Sunday came, he climbed nervously into the pulpit and looked at the abbot and all the other monks, and all he could think of were the words, "Do you know what I'm going to preach about?" They all shook their heads and said, "No." So he shouted out hysterically, "Neither do I!" And he ran out of the pulpit back to his cell. The abbot was cross and said to him, "That's simply not good enough, Brother John. You shall preach again next week and do it this time properly." So when Sunday came around once more, Brother John, with nothing to say, climbed nervously into the pulpit, mind blank, and looked at everyone, and all he could think of were the same words. "Do you know what I'm going to preach about?" They all smiled this time, and they all nodded their heads and said, "Yes." So Brother John yelled back, "Then I don't need to tell you, do I?" And he tore out of the pulpit again and ran back to his cell. The abbot was really angry this time, but refused to let him off the hook and once more challenged him to preach the following Sunday. "One last chance," he told him. Still no sermon ideas came to Brother John that week, and he was more nervous than ever when he mounted that pulpit on the Sunday. His lip trembled as he spoke the only words that came to mind. "Do you know what I'm going to preach about?" he said once more, looking like a rabbit caught in the headlights. Now the monks were all wise to him by now, and when he asked his question, they had arranged beforehand that half of them would nod their heads and say yes, and the other half would shake theirs and say no, and so they did this. "Oh, in that case," brightened up Brother John, "those who know, tell those who don't know." And off he ran back to his cell, believing that his days at the monastery were finally over. But into the cell came the abbot to congratulate him. "That was one of the finest sermons I've heard," he told him. "Those who know, tell those who don't know." Those who know, tell those who don't know. You know the ordinary way in which that monk lived his life, humbly serving his brothers and other people, was obviously important too, don't you think? Even though it's not mentioned in this story. Here's a hymn which says, "One shall tell another," sung here by Divine Hymns.
One shall tell another, and he shall tell his friend. Husbands, wives, and children shall come following on. From house to house in family shall more be gathered in. And lights will shine in every street so warm and welcoming. Ready now to flow through acts of love and mercy, we must let it show. He turns now from his anger to show a smiling face, and longs that all should stand beneath the fountain of his grace. Come on in and taste the new wine,
taste the new
the wine of the kingdom.
So there we have two very different stories which both show that presence along with proclamation are both equally important as far as evangelism is concerned. And proclamation may not be our strength, but simply telling someone how you come to faith is often the best way to do it. Let's listen to the first part of our gospel reading today from Mark 6. Jesus left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that's been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hand? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offence at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honour, except in their own hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house. And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief." So here is Jesus reaching out to people in his own hometown, where they've known him all his life. But he achieves very little there. And it's not because of his inadequacy or lack of power, but because they are closed to what he has to say. If we try to pour water into a jar, and the lid is tightly on, then the liquid will spill out all over the place. The lids were firmly on in Jesus' hometown. So why? Well, the people are scorning him as the carpenter, inferring he's just an ordinary common tradesman, and not some special messenger from God. They know his family very well too, and the circumstances of his birth. They call him Mary's son, either because Joseph had died or because they were questioning the fact that he was conceived out of wedlock. "Where did he get this knowledge? Where did he get this wisdom?" they ask angrily. "Who does he think he is? He's one of us. He's ordinary." There's a saying, familiarity breeds contempt, and here is a perfect example. This is why Jesus comments, "Prophets are not without honour, except in their own hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house." But Jesus came to turn people inside out, which is the title of our next song by Margaret Scott, from the album The Best of United Folk.
You came for hurting people with hurting lives, smiles on faces and pain inside. You called
Our gospel reading continues and goes on to say, "Then he went out among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, 'Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you, and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet, as a testimony against them.' So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons, and anointed with oil many who were sick, and cured them." Jesus sent his disciples out in twos to support and encourage one another. They were to take only what was necessary. Perhaps he was wanting them to learn that God would provide everything they needed in their mission. He sent them out to give of themselves and to receive no financial reward, as some devotees and priests of religions did then. He also advised them not to worry about being rejected or despised, but to focus on what they'd been called to do, to lead the people into repentance, to heal them and make them whole. Evangelism isn't about filling up empty spaces in church. It's about helping people to discover the wholeness and freedom in knowing God, and, like Jesus, to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free. Jesus revealed this calling of his in chapter 4 of Luke's Gospel. It's meant to be ours too. What needs to be said on such matters as these may well upset certain people, particularly the authorities and powers that be, and also those with vested interests for their own selfish ends. Come Open the Eyes of My Heart is our next song by Michael W. Smith.
We want to see things for the way they really are. Open our eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see. Lift it up. Let me hear you.
The song is an outstanding hymn by Charity Bancroft, which draws heavily from Scripture for its text. It's a hymn which says that perfect security and freedom is found in Jesus Christ, who prays for us even now before the throne of God above. May you not close your hearts to God today, and may you find perfect peace in knowing the breadth, length, and depth of God's love for you. Here's Lou Fellingham with Before the Throne of God Above. Have a good week, everyone, and bye for now.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong